James chapter 4, and you know, I've been, speaking of the internet, I've been trying to keep up with uploading the sermons up on the internet, but be sure to let folks know about Sermon Audio and the YouTube page as well. It is a good tool for those who can't come. It's not to replace the service, but it is a good tool for those who maybe live far away or who can't make it in to be with us. And at this point, you know, today's April the 10th. I've got the sermons uploaded all the way up to last Sunday. I haven't got Wednesdays up yet, but I do try to keep it updated. You know, we don't broadcast live from here, but we do. I do try to upload them as soon as I can. So let folks know if they can't come. You know, maybe they can listen in. You know, review the sermons that we do post, and there's even some older ones, like some from Brother Reggie and some from some old conferences and things like that. James chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. We'll go down to verse 4. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." This morning I'd like to preach on the subject of the Christian and the world. The Christian and the world. What has happened to our country? Just this past couple of weeks, we've seen Disney go way bonkers. We've seen inflation skyrocket. We've seen the Supreme Court nominee that got in. All sorts of things happen to our country and our world that we never thought would have happened. I mean, I never thought that I'd have to tell my children, don't turn on anything new by Disney unless I've reviewed it first. But that's the kind of warning that I have to tell them. But a more important question might be what's happened in our churches. Independent, Sovereign Grace, Landmark, Missionary Baptists become so worldly that many times you can't tell the difference between us and the world. Twenty, 30, 40 years ago, preachers were preaching against the sort of thing that's open in our world today. They were warning against this sort of thing. They were warning against the sin of adultery and fornication, the sins that are going on sodomy, preaching against abortion, and that sort of thing. Taking a stand for life, for marriage, for biblical truth. But nowadays, all that's hush-hush. Because, one, some churches don't want to offend people, and two, other churches don't want to lose tax-exempt status. It all comes down to money and popularity. But if we're going to see a change in this world, if we're going to see things happen to get this country better, it's going to take something more, something bigger than Donald Trump, something bigger than Brian Kemp or Perdue or DeSantis. Something bigger than what they have to offer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for those guys and what they can do and all that sort of thing. And I think we ought to vote. And I think we ought to put good people in places, the White House. And I hope and I pray that we get the House and the Senate back. And I hope that Atlanta goes well and all of those things. But if we're going to see this country get back to the way it should be, it's got to start with God's people understanding where we fit in this world. And here in the book of James, in verse 4, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Of God. That's pretty hard stuff. What in the world is this word enmity? Because I know if you read this like some people do, you'll get caught up in this word enmity and you won't even get the rest of this because you'll wonder, what in the world is enmity? According to Vine's dictionary, the word enmity is from a Greek word and is the opposite of agape love. Oxford English Dictionary tells it like this. It's the state of being an enemy. It is being hostile. Webster's 1828 Dictionary defined it as a state of opposition. So he says, the friendship of the world is enmity with God, is in direct opposition with God. There's a lot of battles that took place around here. It's amazing how much of a battlefield area this place was down here. The Spanish fighting the English, the English fighting the Patriots, and then later the Confederates fighting the Yankees. When there's a battle going on, you've got to pick sides. And if you can't pick sides, you've got to at least be strong enough to fend off both sides. When the war broke out, even before the war broke out, but the states started seceding in 1860s. And the Deep South, you know, Georgia, South Carolina, and all the states down here started seceding. And then Lincoln decided that he would ask for troops to go and quell the rebellion. Y'all know the history. What happened? Well, the Upper South, Virginia, North Carolina, those states up there, they said, no, we're not going to send troops to fight against our brothers in the South. In fact, here's what we'll do. We're going to secede and we'll draw up an army and we'll fight against you. You march your troops down here across our soil to try to get to the Deep South. You're going to have to face us. Well, there was one state in the up north who decided to try to remain neutral, and that was Kentucky. Kentucky was the birthplace of one Abraham Lincoln, but also of one Jeff Davis. So people were torn, very torn, and so Kentucky decided to stay neutral. But the only way to really stay neutral was to try to, would be to be strong enough to keep both sides out. Well, they couldn't do that, could they? Kentucky didn't stay neutral for very long. There was a group of soldiers that fought for the South, and they ended up being known as the Orphan Brigade, because when they left, they couldn't get back home because Kentucky had fallen to the Yankees. There's a war going on spiritually right now that's even deeper and more brutal than anything that you could imagine of what went on between the Yankees and the Confederates. More brutal than what went on between the Patriots, the colonists, and the English. More brutal than what went on between the Spanish and English. And it's been going on for some 6,000 years. And you've got to understand which side you're on. Don't be caught on the wrong side. Don't be caught on the wrong side. There's a time for indecisiveness. It's okay to be indecisive on some things. You know, it's okay to compromise on some things. When you're at home and you say to your wife or to your husband, you say, what do you want to eat? I don't know, doesn't matter to me. That's okay. That's okay. But it does matter when it comes to spiritual things. Where will you stand? Where will you stand? When it comes to the world and worldliness, the true Christian will find himself to be at odds with the world. But woe to that man. Woe to that woman who is the friend of the world. What I'm talking about is to be friends with the worldly ways, to be friends with the culture of the world. You see, there's a culture that is different with the world. Much like if you were to take, and if you've gone anywhere else in this world, or you have studied other cultures, you know that there's differences in different peoples and places. There's different languages that people speak. So if you were to go and you were to travel to England, you know that there's a difference in the culture. Leah has experienced some of that with the place that she works. There's tourists that come here to Brunswick. And they get off and they go downtown and they come to the place where she works. And so they're from England or Great Britain or whatever, they come into the place where she works, and they order a tea. Well, no problem. She's got tea. They like their black tea, their hot tea. And they want a cube of sugar, a lump of sugar, a little cube of sugar. And she has to tell them, or her boss has to tell them, well, we don't have that, but we can give you a packet of sugar. Right? And so they kind of get a laugh out of that. Not to mention the way that they talk and their accent and all that sort of thing. So there's differences in culture. Much of the same way that there are differences in the Christian culture versus the world's culture. There are words that we use as Christians that the world don't have any idea of. And there are words that the world uses that as Christians we ought not to be using. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 18. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We use this passage a lot when we talk about marriage, and certainly it is applicable to marriage. A Christian girl or a Christian boy ought not to marry someone who's not a Christian. If you've ever cooked and made an omelet, you will understand what I'm talking about. If you have a rotten egg and two good eggs, and you put those two good eggs in the pan, and then you put that rotten egg in there, and you try to make a good omelet out of it, that will never make a good omelet. No matter how clever the arrangement. Understand something. This passage isn't just about marriage. This passage is about all sorts of things. This passage is about life in general. Friendships, business relationships, all sorts of things. And we've got to be careful about how we try to fix the omelets of life. One bad potato in the bin, one rotten apple with the rest of the apples, what's going to happen? The rest of the apples, the rest of the potatoes are going to get messed up. You say, but preacher, we have to be in the world. Yes, we do. But we've got to be careful about the way in which that we behave, the way in which we have our partnerships, the way in which that we, well, to put it the way that he puts it here, he says, he says that, a believer in Christ and a non-believer are different. Does the devil and Christ have a relationship? No. Does light and darkness have anything in common? Does the temple of God have any place for an idol? Certainly not. You see? So then we must be separate. Be careful with how you make your partnerships in this world. This isn't some legalistic, hair-splitting attitude. This is the Word of God. You know, if you go into a business partnership, you say, yeah, I'm going to start this business, and I know this guy, and he's really good with math, and so I'm going to join up with him. But if he doesn't know the Lord, and he's a cheat and a swindle in his business dealings, what's that going to say about you as a child of God? You see. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Demas could have been a great help to Paul, but Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. He said, Demas left. He forsook me, having loved this present world. Oh, this world has so much to offer. But we must put the Lord first in our lives, you see. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 11. Well, let's start with verse 10. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote his upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We have to be careful as we think about our relationship to the world, in that we don't think of ourselves more highly than the world. You see, God's grace is great. And whatever we are is by the grace of God. And this Pharisee, he said, God, I thank thee that I'm not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or this publican. I'm glad what I am. I'm so good. The publican, standing far off, he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That should be our attitude in this world. To know that were it not for the grace of God, that we would be out there with this world, that we would be the darkness, that we would be the worldly ones. And as long as we remember that, that will help us with our relationship in this world. Because, you know, the temptation might be, so, well, we look down at the world, to think that we're better off than them and we would stay separate. But that's not the full picture, is it? We're to be careful of our relationships. We're to remain unspotted from this world. But we're still in this world. And we're in this world for a reason. Over in the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So we're to take the gospel to every creature. We can't, you know, like someone said one time, go off and separate ourselves completely from the world so that we have no contact with anybody. You know, go off on some island somewhere with just us and our books and just stay like some monastery type living where we have no contact with nobody. Say, this is how I'm going to live. I'm going to learn about the Lord and have sweet communion with Him and just have nobody better come around me unless they're as good as I am. No, it's not the kind of attitude we have, is it? It's not the attitude we ought to have. Because we're here for a reason. We're ambassadors. We're messengers. And as such, we've been sent. You see, if we think about two countries having even at war with each other or anything like that, guess what happens during, even in times of war? There are messengers that are sent. You realize that there were, even in the 1860s, when the southern states had seceded from the north, Richmond was our capital. There was a war going on and a flat out invasion from the north. That there were from Richmond men being sent as messengers or ambassadors up to Washington. When they went in amongst, when they crossed the line, when they went and talked to the Union government, did they become like the Yankees? No. They were still Confederates. They were still identified as the country that sent them. To bring it to our modern day, there are dispatches that are happening between Ukraine and Russia. The Ukrainians and the Russians sit down and talk. The Ukrainians, when they go and sit with the Russians, they don't become like the Russians. Their wars are very similar. The wars are being fought because our grandfathers, our grandfathers didn't want to a union that was by force. Those guys don't want to become Russians by force. And so, my point is this: you and I, we have a message, and in order to get that message across, We don't have to be, we ought not to be like the world around us to get that message across. In fact, we get the message across best when we identify clearly that we're of a heavenly country, that we're of Christ. You see, this world is not our home. Just like to the Ukrainians, Russia is not their home. And when we look at this and we realize this, we'll keep that in mind. That this message we have is from our leader, our Lord. But furthermore, when we see things going on in this world, we can't be like the Pharisee to look down on everybody. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you go with me there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." You remember those Westboro Baptist guys that used to go around and they'd hold up the signs? There's all those signs that would say about how people were going to hell. And they'd show up at funerals and all sorts of, they'd be all over the news. They were right. But they weren't telling the message correctly. You see, because they didn't have any kind of love in their message. There's a time and a place, and show up at a funeral with signs over their head like that was not the way to do it. Because Paul doesn't really end it there, does he? In verse 11, he says, "And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Check this out. The homosexual that's on the TV. That transgender. That fornicator, that idolater, that abortionist. Guess what? For every one of those that we see on the TV, I believe there's one somewhere in a church who the Lord had cleaned up, saved. They're no longer those things, you see. They've been cleaned up, washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And as long as those folks are breathing and living, they need the message of the cross as well. Even Joe Biden and the I can't think of his name now, but it doesn't matter. The man that won against them women in that swimming sport, the women's sport. I mean, there's hope for him. I think his medal ought to be taken away from him. But there's hope for him. what I'm trying to say. I don't know the plan of God. And I don't know the story of everybody who sits in the pew of a church. But I do know the story of what it says here for the church of Corinth. And there were some pretty bad sinners sitting there, past life, who had been saved by the grace of God. And you and I, so we live this life separate from the world. We understand that we're in this world, but not of this world. In John chapter 17, let me just bring it out this way. In John 17, excuse me. John 17, beginning of verse 14, I have given them thy word. This is Jesus talking, praying here. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I hear some of these guys, they say, well, I'm saved, and in order for me to reach my buddies, the guys I grew up with, I've got to go, and I've got to go where they are. And so they run around with their worldly friends. They get drunk with their worldly friends. They do drugs with their worldly friends. They curse with their worldly friends and all that sort of thing. And they try to claim that they are Christian. Okay? And whenever I talk to them, I say, hey, if you know the Lord, you ought not to be doing this sort of thing. You ought to get out of that mess. And they say, well, Jesus sat with sinners. Yeah, he did. He did sit with sinners. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't sin with sinners, okay? He didn't get involved with their sinful activities. Because let me tell you, you can't be a witness to somebody if you act just like them. And you young people, you've got to understand that. Don't run around with them to try to help them out. You won't help them out. They'll drag you down with them. They'll drag you down with them. Jesus, when he prayed this prayer, he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means set apart. We are set apart by this book. That means we've got a standard that the world doesn't have. They don't care what's in this book, but we do as God's people. And if you're one of God's people, you ought to care what's in this book. If God's word says to do something, you ought to do it. If God's word says not to do something, you ought not to do it. Whether by direct command or implication. In closing, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. I love lighthouses. I love to see how they operate in the dark. When I was out west and not anywhere around a lighthouse, I used to love to be out. I mean, you'd be middle of nowhere and you could look out across the prairie and you could see a city that was miles away because of the light. The light. What good is a lighthouse if it tries to be light in the darkness around it? It wouldn't be any good at all, would it? It would serve no purpose. A city that's on a hill can't be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it in a bushel, but on a candlestick. God's people. Let your light so shine before men. I believe that we ought to be different. They say, what's going on with you? Why are you different? What did you do this weekend? Well, you know, on Sunday we went to church. Why'd you go to church? Well, because I'm a member of that church. Because if you're saved, you ought to be a member of the Lord's church. What in the world is that all about? Right? The world don't understand nothing about that. Because what's the world doing this morning? Well, they ain't here, are they? They ain't in church. The fact is, by separating ourselves from the world, we're being a testimony to the world. Light is different than darkness. Light is, you can see it. And in fact, the worse, the darker it is, the more you can see the light. The more you can see the light, the brighter the light is. And isn't that the way it has become in this world? It seems like that the worse things get in this world, the better we can see who's truly going to take a stand and who isn't. We need in this country not to compromise. No, if we want to see this country get back to being great, go back and read what this country was built on. No, they weren't. They weren't all saved, perfect Christians. But I'll tell you what, they respected the Bible. They respected Christianity. We see this country get back to being great. We need men and women who will stand for traditional marriage, recognizing that there's only one man and one woman for legitimate marriage. We need men and women who will stand for life, recognizing that abortion's murder. Men and women who will stand for the Word of God, realizing that there's no other book that is any better than that. The children, all the way up to old people, that what we need is to be found here in this book. May God help us to be faithful. And